Welcome to the multiverse.
So Alex texted me yesterday. Our good buddy and guest of your Doctor Strange episode, and he told me about a comic book dream that he had, and it was all of us, the whole Rain Gang. He said that we took revenge on the guy who killed Uncle Ben, Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, by throwing him out of a window. Like, we just found him and chucked him out. Then we walked down to his body and cracked open a six-pack, and while we decided what to do with him. So when I asked him about it, I said, so what, we just took out some vigilante street justice on this guy and got drunk? And he said, basically, yeah. It wasn't even done in private. Like, we made no attempt to cover it up. And there were a bunch of college kids that came over, and they were like, oh, hey, cool, a body.
Did they poke it with a stick?
Yes! And then so, apparently, I suggested we prop him up in a chair like it's Weekend at Bernie's, and then we pretended like he drank himself to death, even though his skull was smashed in like a pumpkin. There was no attempt whatsoever to hide it. So we're vigilantes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, basically Batman.
Yeah. You know, well, Batman v Superman Batman, because we killed the guy, but, you know.
Oh, right. Not the Batman that doesn't kill, just maims and ruins people's lives.
One can argue that death is better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crippling debt or death?
Yeah, I'll take the death.
Yeah. With you on that one. So. Boy, what a way to start the show.
Street justice.
Street justice. Speaking of street justice, why don't you... Welcome to the multiverse, everyone. I am Nick. With me is Junior.
Hello.
You want to talk about what we're talking about today or whatever? Yeah, we did it. God, fucking great open.
Jesus Christ. All right, so if you paid attention...
I'll get there one day.
One day. If you paid attention to last week's talking, you already know what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at Xener, Master of the Mind, issue number 0. Last week, we had the privilege to sit down with Alex Daw and Webb Blaynott from NRG Comics, where they talked about the creative process behind bringing your own comic book to life. And for this week's episode, they sent us a prelude to their upcoming Xener series. You can find them just by Googling NRG. They're all over the place.
NRG Comics.
NRG specifically. Comics, yes.
Yeah.
So, like I said, today we're going to delve into issue number 0 of Xener, Master of the Mind. Now, Nick and I had the advantage of speaking to the creators to enrich our journey through this comic. So before you listen to this episode, before you go any further, check out Talking Number 12, if you haven't already done so. For me, it really helped deepen the experience of this indie comic.
Absolutely. And they're great guys. Really fun to talk to. Really nice.
Yeah.
Awesome people.
It was a great experience. So we open this comic with a villain named Night Sovereign in the middle of a bad guy monologue made out to no one in particular. It turns out a guy with the word night in his name isn't too fond of the sun and plans to use his nightning generator to block out the sun's rays.
That's just fun.
This indicating that he's got some weird vampire rules going on. The Night Sovereign has gray skin, purple and black getup, some kind of tiara looking thing with a crescent moon, and a face tattoo or birthmark, we're not really sure, of a similar logo. He does not have vampire teeth. The activation of this lightning generator would double as a means to eliminate his nemesis, Nick's personal favorite of the episode, Soul Man. Now, Soul Man looks like a cross between two Marvel characters, Sentry and Luke Cage. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just kind of see the Sentry in the outfit, and he is a bald black man.
A buff bald black man.
Yes.
It's immediately clear that Soul Man is the protagonist of this plot just from the first two pages. Now, right off the bat, this comic had Nick scared.
Wait, did you say antagonist?
Protagonist.
Protagonist, okay. Soul Man's a good guy.
Yep.
Night Sovereign's the bad guy.
Yep. So like I said, this first interaction had Nick a little scared. We were playing Rainbow Six with the Rain Gang when we actually got the invite from NRG Comics, and they immediately sent us issue zero, and he got to skimming after he died, as he does.
Wait, hang on now. Wait a minute.
So what had Nick scared were these first few pages. Would you care to explain your initial reaction?
Yeah, it's definitely like when you read those first couple pages, you're like, you know, this is, the art's great. I will say that off the top, the art is great. Said the same thing in the talking episode. But you're reading it and you're like, you know, it's not bad, but it's kind of campy. And I got concerned that the whole thing was going to be campy.
I'm going to say, I think you're pulling your punches a little bit. It was
extremely... Hang on, I was drunk. No, if we were playing Rainbow Six, I was more than likely drunk.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But no, it was very campy. But, you know, thankfully, this wasn't how the comic... This isn't what we're actually talking about. It was a movie.
Yeah.
It was... just a movie. Thankfully, Nick's fears were for naught, and we're met with some more relatable characters. Sasha, an enthusiastic young redhead, and Diego, a dark-skinned cool guy, are on a movie date. Judging by their interactions, this isn't a first date either. They seem to have been going at it for a bit. Sasha absolutely loved this flick, but Diego, not so much. Ignoring the fact that Night Sovereign isn't exactly an A-list villain for the hero Soul Man, it's made clear 20% of the way through this comic that superheroes already exist in the quote-unquote real world. One such hero's name is Empress. And while we don't see her outside of a billboard in the background, it's immediately clear that she has a very real and powerful presence on these people. Diego says, quote, I think the main thing is superhero movies aren't nearly so novel anymore since there's a real superhero now. Empress lies in another city, Cirrus City, to be exact. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. While we're walking around with Sasha and Diego in Indigo Valley, and this brief interaction accomplishes two things: world building and establishing a shared universe.
I don't know that I would agree. I guess I won't ever know, but the sentiment that now that there's real superheroes, I wouldn't enjoy a superhero movie. I mean, there's real war, there's real cops. I mean, I enjoy action movies that are based around stuff like that.
That's a good point.
So, I don't know. Just an observation.
I think the two closest things we have are Jetpack Man, the guy flying around in LA with a jetpack, and Elon Musk.
We're like 20 years away from Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I only say 20 because like somebody's dragging their feet.
So like the existence of Metropolis and Gotham City, you've got heroes patrolling their respective cities. Sasha and Diego's analysis of the latest Soul Man movie is interrupted by a giant boom and rubble falling from a skyscraper high above that crashes between the two of them. Panic sets in all around them, and citizens are sent scrambling. Sasha and Diego are now separated, and a giant purple-horned monster looks down on Diego from above, Diego specifically. Looking to finish the job, this monster leaps down on Diego, but is slammed into the ground by an unidentified flying interloper. Of course, this interloper is the being on the cover of this issue, Xener. Xener, the self-proclaimed master of the mind, has shoulder-length purple hair, a black cape, and a gray suit with purple accents. He also has a belt of these purple orb things that you don't get to see be used in this issue. Xener tells the recently saved Diego, quote, Diego Reyes, you need to get out of here now. When questioned as to why Xener knows this young man's name, he responds, quote, I know your name because you know your name. Already, you begin to see why he's called the Master of the Mind.
Diego's got no time for costume weirdos and tries searching for his girlfriend Sasha, who he catches slipping away into a nearby building. He chases after her, but the horned purple monster is right behind him. Having escaped Zener's grasp, this monster is free to cause carnage and mayhem once more. We learn Sasha slipped into this building in particular because her mom lives here. Diego's looking to get the hell out, and then rather selfishly says, quote, "Your mom would want you to worry about yourself." Which just hit me wrong. I'm going to be honest. Like things are crashing down all around them. The building is literally being torn to shreds. And he's like, no, fuck your mother.
No. Hang on. I don't think that's how it's meant to be. I think it's more like, more or less like, if you die trying to get to your mom, you're no good to her. But if we escape, and maybe your mom can escape on her own, then everybody gets to live. I do think it's fucked up that she just ran away from Diego. She and was like
dipped.
She was like deuces,
and it was,
and left him.
And it wasn't like when the rubble fell. It wasn't like he pushed her out of the way or anything like that. Like they were like arm in arm, and like he just jumped. Like it very narrowly missed her.
I'm gonna say it, Diego, buddy. You probably should let her go. She doesn't seem to give a shit about you.
But before Sasha can retort, the monster returns and starts smashing like any good monster does. Sasha assumedly heads upstairs. Diego tries to follow. I say assumedly because you don't see her now until she makes it to her mother. Zener and the monster spend the next 3 pages battling through this building while Sasha and Diego try to make their way up to her mom, but they are doing so separately. Sasha reaches her mother just fine, but by the time Diego makes it up, the battle between Zener and the monster has reached that very same floor. Here, Zener demonstrates a new power and uses some form of telekinesis, bringing cars from the street level up to them where he can now yeet them at the monster. The cars are imbued with a magical purple aura, with purple being my favorite color. It is nice to see so much of it being used throughout this comic.
Yeah, you really like your purple.
Yeah, I thought you were going to bitch at me for using the word yeet.
No, I took my deep breath and I let it go.
That's okay, because there's more of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this interaction between Zener and the monster causes the ground that Diego was standing on in this building to become unstable. As a result, Diego plummets back down to the earth. Diego lands hard. His leg is impaled by a piece of rebar, and a pool of blood quickly forms beneath him. It's unclear just how many stories Diego fell. He loses consciousness shortly after. Now he awakens in a strange operating room with 2 unfamiliar men hovering above him. One man identifies himself as Salvatore. The other one, operating medical equipment, is identified as Dr. Steele. Salvatore is dressed in an unbuttoned red dress shirt with a snake tattoo wrapped around his body. Upon examination, Diego is pretty fucked up.
To say the least.
Some of his bones are so shattered from the fall, they're essentially a powder at this point. It's honestly incredible that he's even conscious, much less alive.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Diego's primary concern seems to be, where the hell is Sasha? Without answering any of Diego's questions, Salvatore is pretty confident he can help save Diego with the assistance of the specialist. The specialist is a cyborg ninja-looking thing with horns. Diego goes, what the hell is that thing? And screams after he sees all these fancy gadgets pop out of the specialist's mechanical arm. Because it is, as far as we know, a whole ass robot.
That would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
You're just going to show up and pop some instruments out of your arm?
Oh,
no, thank you.
We've got a drill, a saw, a blade, a blowtorch, and what might be most unsettling of all, a corkscrew.
He's like a Swiss Army robot. None of those things that came out of his arm are things that you should see while awake. while you're in like in a operating area. None of those things should be available to your eyeballs.
You have just a random ass kid, because he kind of looks like a kid, maybe early 20s, who just woke up, his ribs and his bit of his arms and legs shattered. Like I said, we don't know how far he fell. He shouldn't be alive, but he is, and he's awake. And then you're not going to sedate him?
Right.
You're going to let this giant robot, Swiss Army robot, like you said, just come at him? Like,
yeah, he just walks in the room. He's like, check these out. Just whips out all kind of torture instruments.
It's incredible. Like, he's going to have a heart attack and die. You guys are the world's shittiest doctors. So focus then gets shifted onto Salvatore and Doc Steele as they leave the operating room, with Diego's screams permeating the halls. It is very clear they never put him under. The two of them retreat to what looks to be Salvatore's private office. And I say it's Salvatore's office because the walls are littered with snake art, much like the tattoo wrapped around his body. Apparently, Diego is rich with what Salvatore calls the aptitude, and that energy signature was what lured him to Diego's unconscious body following the battle between Xener and the purple-horned monster. It should be noted that neither of these men look remotely like what might be Xener with his mask off.
So he has the aptitude.
The aptitude.
Whereas I am rich with the attitude.
God damn it. But I'm... How long has that been in your pocket?
I was just could not wait for you to shut up.
Well done, sir.
I hate myself.
You hated yourself before the joke. Apparently, the aptitude makes Diego a viable candidate for something, but we don't know what. So the death numbers are in from today's big showdown. 134 people lost their lives in this battle, and that number seems to kind of roll off Salvatore's back a little bit. He says, such is the price of failure, I suppose. And here's where things get confusing. Salvatore says, quote, I arrived too late today to intervene in the fight. In a sense, I was 10 years too late. I should have gotten more directly involved from the moment I realized how dangerous that monster was. Now 134 people are dead because it went rampaging around Indigo Valley. Perhaps if it had been defeated, their deaths might have had some purpose. Unfortunately for everyone, it was the monster who emerged victorious. Now the real trippy part is at the end of this comic. You see Xener standing over the motionless body of the horned monster. So we as the reader are left to assume that the monster Salvatore is referring to is actually Xener. And that, my friends, is the end of issue 0 of Xener, Master of the Mind. Nick, what are your initial thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. It's a perfect issue 0. You get a lot of action. You get it introduced to characters. You get this big cliffhanger like, all right, so Xener showed up to help and stop the monster. But now we got this other guy who's saying he's the monster. Mm-hmm. He assumes he's the bad guy. So we know from our interview that the first 3 issues are going to focus around Xener's origin story. So this leads perfectly into that. I think that's a great way to do the issue. It's a free issue. It's a great way to get interest in your comic. So they did a really good job with that. I do want to read those and find out what happens next. Find out why Salvatore thinks he's this monster. But he's maybe doing good?
Maybe.
Because the horned monster showed up and wrecked a bunch of shit.
Horned monster seems bad.
Yeah. Is this 2 bad guys fighting? I don't think so, because Xener seems to be the hero of the story. But we'll have to read the comics and find out.
Correct. So before I give my own review, I'd like to talk about a couple things in particular. First, I think I mentioned it in the interview that we did. My favorite panel in this comic was one of the ones during the fight between Xener and the monster. In this panel, the artist was able to convey motion in such a way that, especially out of an indie comic, I was blown away by. I was like, that is a pro move right there, because the monster leaps between buildings in one panel. That one really resonated with me. It made me want to keep reading to see if anything equally as impressive showed up. Now, let's talk about Sasha, the girlfriend. I felt like she got the short end of the stick. I know that of this issue zero, it's Diego seems to be the protagonist, right? Because Xener, even though it's his issue, he's kind of in the background, just fucking shit up.
Right.
It's kind of like Diego kind of takes the role of Bruce Wayne in Batman v Superman. You've got this god fight going on, and you're kind of just trying to work your way through it with buildings crashing all around. I would have liked to see more of her journey. She kind of just pops in and out here. Like, the rubble separates them, and she just doesn't get the light that I feel she deserves. Like, she just pops in, hey, I'm here, and then she goes away, and you don't see her for three pages. And then next thing you know, she's found her mom. But, like, I don't know. Like, even when that first piece of debris hits, Diego jumps out of the way. You don't even see him push her out of the way. She just pops out over it.
Yeah.
That combined with what I have to say about her mother, Diego seems kind of selfish by comparison, I felt like. You seemed to think that maybe it was the girlfriend who was more selfish, but I think she immediately knew where she was in the city once the attack started, and her mind just went straight to her mom.
Well, and you know, that's understandable, but you also have somebody that you supposedly care about, and you don't even check to see if they're okay. You just, you know, my mom's over there.
She did.
I gotta go that way. That's my thinking on it.
She did pop like her head in on him to make sure that he wasn't immediately crushed, and then dipped. But no, I see what you're saying. Like, they definitely should have been working as a team. Like,
yeah.
I said earlier, like, they're together, and it seems like they have been for a while. You don't just drop them.
Right. You together, you're going to have a better chance of getting to your mom than you are by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's talk about Sasha's mom for a second and her place in their relationship. In a time of panic, Sasha demonstrated empathy, if for no other reason than convenience because of the building nearby. But he's probably met her mom. Like, I can't get over this. Like, and even if he hadn't met her mom, like, her going to save her mother was obviously a priority for her. And yeah, she left him. That's kind of fucked up. But, like, the monster was here, smashing shit, right? So what's up with the fuck your mama attitude?
Okay, so like, I'm going to look at this from a different perspective.
Like, I just want to say it was almost as if he wasn't running to help protect Sasha's mother. He was just chasing Sasha.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're right there.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's right, but I'll say, like, in a lot of situations where it's a parent and a child and there's danger, right? The idea is to save the child. The parents have had longer to live, save the child, then save the parent. That's just kind of how that goes. So maybe he watches a lot of documentaries or listens to a lot of true crime podcasts, and he's just like, look, let's get you safe, and then we'll worry about your mom. Because if Sasha were to die in that, and the mom survived, that's going to be worse on the mom. you know, losing a parent's not great, but a parent should never lose their child. So I'm just kind of looking at it from that mm-hmm. angle.
Which, I guess. I mean, makes sense because, you know, you've procreated.
I have done that once, yes.
at least one time, confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So that's about what I've got. We'll do my review now. Okay. No, we can't read issue number one or two or three. And this prelude leaves a lot of questions unanswered. That being said, I personally wanted to keep reading this. Like I was happy that it didn't suck. Because, you know, sometimes when you get out of the realm of the big two, Marvel, DC, mm-hmm. sometimes you get some stuff that just doesn't resonate with you quite as much. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, some stuff of Marvel and DC sucks too. You know?
Yeah. You never know what you're getting.
Yeah. But you especially don't know what you're getting with an indie comic who's crowdfunding their first volume.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad that it was good. Especially after hearing from Alex and Webb just how chock full of trauma that this character is. I really want to see more of him. And I've seen a couple teasers of issue one, and we get to see, like, well, what assumes to be young Zener. You know, it's a small boy in, like, a medical gown with purple hair. Purple hair is not that common. So it's either him or Raven.
You never know.
That is, they do have an established, you know, shared universe with multiple heroes. Is it possible that DC and NRG Comics are colluding? No, it is not.
No. DC does not give a shit about anybody but DC.
Yeah.
So
that being said, I think that this was unlike any prelude that I've ever read, and that it didn't focus on Zener, the man who the comic is named after. Instead, like I said earlier, it kind of takes the Bruce Wayne in the beginning of Batman v Superman approach. It gives you
a little bit of everybody versus just your main title character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some world building.
Mm-hmm.
With how much we talked about Zener in our interview and how much thought that went into this combination of Batman and Superman, I can't wait to meet that character. Mm-hmm. My biggest critique of this prelude is that I needed more. You know, I understand that the comic was 22 pages long, but I wanted more. You know, and that's probably just me being selfish.
Well, I'd say that's what a prelude is. From what I'm understanding is they did their job. They gave you something for free and it made you want more.
Yes.
So they absolutely know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have cut down some of the fighting, but at the same time, I want big monster smashy smash.
Sure. Everybody wants action.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what drives the comic.
There could have been a little bit more fluid movement between Sasha and Diego through the tower. There's one point Sasha and Diego are standing on the stairs of the bottom floor of the tower when she talks about her mom. And the next time that you see Diego, he is jumping over collapsed staircases. Like, we know that things have smashed and we assume that Sasha's gone upwards, but it would have been nice if we could have had just a couple more panels just showing a little bit more. Like, I'm a relatively smart guy, you know. I can infer what happened.
Yeah. Let's say a little bit less of filling in the blanks with your imagination.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay. It's not, as far as critiques go, that's not a horrible one.
No. Overall, I would give it probably a 7.5. I know we don't rate comics, but I thought it was solid.
No, it was very good, especially for just a free look into the world.
Yeah, this thing is free. You can find it. We'll post links.
We'll post links
on the episode description. And you can find it there at their Indiegogo page. You can be a backer. We are backers. We're going to get our name in this comic book. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I want to do some little theory time. Because, you know,
okay.
Can't read anything past this. But, you know, I'm just going to posit my own theories.
as to where this is going, especially when you consider the last line of the comic. It was the monster who emerged victorious. I believe that this Prelude comic was actually a supervillain origin story.
Ooh.
Diego was picked up after a rampaging battle between Xener and the giant monster, destroying half of Indigo Valley in the process. We don't even know what happened to his girlfriend and her mother. For all Diego knows, they could be one of the 134 casualties. He's obviously imbued with some kind of energy and is picked up by this shadowy organization with the intent of turning him against the quote of the against the quote unquote hero who saved the town. And the best part.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, okay. You go ahead. Finish
the up. Best part of all would be that this organization truly believes they're right, much like Lex Luthor truly believes Superman is a threat to mankind. So that's okay. That's my theory.
So you think that Salvatore and his lot are like a villain league, but think that they're doing good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because like I said, we already have established heroes, and when you've got that kind of power that exists, you've got people that want to take it away. They don't even have to know that person. A friend of ours, as soon as you introduce a hero as like royalty or a king, he automatically doesn't like him. Like Black Panther, he was like, I didn't like him. He's got too much power. He's got it too good.
he likes that pain and suffering in a superhero.
Yeah. So that's all I've got. Nick, do you have anything else?
All right. No, just definitely go check this out. Like we said, it's a free issue. It costs you nothing but your time to read it. If you're already reading comic books, you're going to do that anyway. Check that out. They're great guys. I think what they're doing is awesome. Definitely support them if you have the funds. If you don't, go ahead and read the issue anyway.
Yeah.
It's free. So check them out. Like Junior said, Google NRG Comics. I know their website is nrg-comics.com. Is it right? Dash? Is that what that is? The little line thingy?
The straight line that's in the middle of the... Yeah that's a dash.
Sure. So yeah, NRG Comics with a dash in the middle between NRG and Comics. It takes you to their website. I'm sure they have all their stuff linked there. If not, you can find them on Twitter. Their stuff is definitely linked there. So, yeah, go support those guys. They're awesome.
Yep. A little bit of a shorter show today.
Yeah. That happens when you only review one issue.
Yeah.
And it's not shit.
We're going to...
If it had been bad, we would have had a whole hour of us just bitching. But it was good, unfortunately, but fortunately... You know?
Yeah, it would have been really awkward if we did the interview and then read the comic and we're like, oh, this is bad.
No. We definitely read the comic and then said, yeah, you guys, we're going to do this because it was good.
Yeah.
So, and if you for some reason you listened to this entire episode and you didn't check out the interview, make sure you do that. They're really cool guys to talk to.
Yeah. So, I thought it went well.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do the wrap-up thing.
Hit him with it.
You can, I had something written
for Nick, this we have a whole script ready to go for opening and closing shows.
Literally did not have it ready to go, and I'm definitely not just filling in the time as I search for it on my computer.
God bless.
That is in front of me right now that is...
Nicholas!
Thank you for listening from whatever corner of the multiverse that you reside in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get the new episodes as soon as they drop. If you're able to, leave us a review. We like 5 stars. We're not picky. If you're going to leave us less than 5 stars, leave us a review so that we know why you don't like us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Multiverse616. And if you'd like to email us, you can do that at wttmpod@gmail.com. And make sure you tune in next week for a Talking to the Multiverse. And then the week after that, is another Welcome to the Multiverse.
I was like, Junior, normally we tease those on talking.
We don't have to tease it. If you want to tease it, go for it. If not, say your goodbyes.
There will be blood.
Because I'm going to kill you. What?
I said there will be blood, but I didn't think it would be my blood. All right, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, and thank you for listening.